You're listening to the Volleyball by Design podcast. Last night, we were fortunate enough to get to watch a fantastic national championship match between Wisconsin and Nebraska. Now, this episode is not going to be a recap or a summary of the match, but rather, we're going to look at key takeaways, key things that we can take back to our gym and apply to our team right away, things that we can see what they're doing at the highest level and find out how can we apply that to our team and what are some things that we may have noticed that would really, really benefit our team. So this is going to be, again, this is a podcast about step-by-step tangible things you can take back to your team. So we're going to really dive into last night's match and see how we can better ourselves as coaches. So stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Coach Brian Singh, and after a number of years coaching competitive volleyball and as the head coach of the biggest college in Canada, I've become obsessed with helping coaches improve their knowledge and skills of the game by teaching them how to coach efficiently and effectively to ultimately reach their volleyball goals. I created the Volleyball by Design podcast to give you simple, actionable, step-by-step strategies so you can get clarity and apply what you learn right away. This is the Volleyball by Design podcast.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 80 of the Volleyball by Design podcast. How is everyone doing out there today? If you are a new listener, welcome to the podcast. My name is Coach Brian Singh, and I'm the host of the podcast. And if you are a regular listener, as always, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you taking it. You basically listening to my podcast and being an active listener. For my new listeners, you have about 79 episodes to get caught up on, but that's okay. It is 79 episodes where I hope it's going to be worth it for you. You know, you're going to get a chance to learn, dive in, take some things away that you can apply to your gym, because at the end of the day, that's what this podcast is all about. It's about taking one or two, maybe even three ideas. Even if you got just one idea, it's an opportunity for you to take it, apply it back to your gym, and get that 1% better, that 1% better. So what we're going to do in today's episode is we are going to dive a little bit deeper into the national championship match that happened yesterday for me when I'm filming this. It would have been December 18th of 2021 between Wisconsin and Nebraska. Fantastic match. If you're listening to this episode and you haven't gotten a chance to take a look at the match, I really recommend you doing so. It was phenomenal. Great, great battle between two great teams. It was a thriller. It was exactly what you want a national championship game to be. You were kept on the edge of your seat the entire match, and you got a chance to see some great coaching, some great adjustments in game, some great use of offensive and defensive strategies. Man, it was really cool to see the tactical aspects of the game as well as the excitement of the match entirely. And what we want to do on today's episode is not so much summarize the match. I'm not trying to be a reporter here. I'm trying to look at it from a coaching standpoint. And what can we take away as coaches from that match? If there was anything to take away, what can we take away from it so that we can, you know, look at our team and say, you know what, we're in the right direction on our team. We're heading in the right position, and you know, this is where we want to go. So let's start off by talking about the most basic thing in the game of volleyball, and that is serving and passing. And if you were to watch that match last night, you can see how crucial serving and passing was, especially when it came to the first two sets and the last set. Serving and passing, like I always say, the best serving and passing teams are going to be the ones that come out with a good chance of winning. Normally, the best serving and passing teams end up winning the match. But in our case here, the match was a little bit more than serving and passing. And let's talk about it. So when it came to serving, especially on the side of Nebraska, Nebraska served a really, really tough float. Some of their players, in fact, I would argue that their serving is the reason why they stayed in a lot of the game, as well as, of course, great defense. But if you notice in that first set, that serving was so tough that it was taking Wisconsin out of system quite a bit. And that was part of the reason why they were able to control the tempo of the match, especially in the first set. Until, of course, Wisconsin did end up playing an extremely well second set, and their block was just was a problem to start with from the entire match, for that matter. So serving and passing. So coaches, I mean, you know, we always talk about serving and passing, but one of the things that I really liked about how Nebraska was serving is they not only served tough, but they didn't change their serve. You know, their players would go and they really served that 6-5 seam deep. They were really pushing a deep, deep float on that 6-5 seam. And what I liked about the approach of the serving strategy was shoot your best shot. So they were serving tough. And they were consistent in the location and the type of serve. You know, one mistake I see a lot of times with younger teams is they'll serve tough, get an ace, throw them out of system, serve again tough, and then they'll maybe if they have an opportunity to serve for a third time, they change it up. They're like, okay, all right, you know what, let's go short this time, or let's go deep, or let's mix it up a little bit. But in reality, you know, that serve that they were doing was working so well that they stayed true to that serve, and they really pounded that home. So I really liked the idea of being aggressive on that serve and not changing it, but staying consistent to that serve. So that was really good. The other thing in terms of passing is you notice that what I liked about their ability to run an offense, and this is for both teams, is anything above the attack line was a perfect pass. And I don't know if you noticed that. So when we had an opportunity to get that ball, and again, it was a good serving match, but when we were able to get that ball up, as long as it was in front of the attack line, we had all four hitters running their hitting lanes, and they were pretty much creating an amazing dominant offense. So especially, you know, it's not even just one team, both Wisconsin and Nebraska, when that ball was passed, as long as it's good height, even if the setter came off the net to the attack line, their middles would always be in route, running a 31, running a 30, running even a 40, like pushing all the way over, but their middles were always an option. And that is why an undersized team like Nebraska, for example, stayed true. And that's my daughter in the background. Just one sec, let me just get her out of here. Sorry, I mean, you didn't know, but I had a little pause there to get my daughter outside. So basically, the message there is when you're running your offense, all right, we want to make sure that, and I know this is a passing point, but a perfect pass at the high level is a good ball that has good height where a setter can get to it and be able to establish themselves, but also anywhere around the attack line. You know, at the younger age group, you may not be able to run a middle if the ball is passed to the attack line, but as you get older and you're trying to diversify your offense and create offense with all four hitters, anything above the attack line that is at a good height, even if it's pushed over to area three, we can still run a middle on a route. And that is another reason why both teams were extremely strong in the middle. More so, Nebraska was really strong in the middle coming out with, especially earlier in the match, with running different routes, running 30s, even running off just straight vertical. And it was amazing to see how that was able to kind of help them in the match. And Wisconsin, again, Wisconsin had very dominant middles. You know, the player of the game was the middle, and gotta say, it was a Canadian middle at that, by the way. For those of you that don't know, I am from Canada. So she did a fantastic job of playing out in the middle, and she was the player of the match, and she did a great job on both the block as well as the attack, and she really controlled it, and that was Anna. Anna Schreck did a fantastic job. I think she was the most outstanding player of the match. But, you know, what else? So we talked about, so the serving was tough, you know, that good flow serve, we don't switch it up. Passing above the attack line was really solid. Now, let's kind of transition to, since we're talking about offense here in terms of jamming your lane, one thing that I found really interesting, and it actually paid off for them in certain areas, not as much as I thought it would, but Wisconsin ran this double quick. And what that was is they had the left side come in for a 31 type set, like a tandem type set, and they had the middle run a 61, which is like a back quick. So you imagine as a blocking defensive side now, you see two players coming at you really fast, one on the left, one behind the setter, and you don't know which one is gonna set. So you have an option to commit and jump regardless with your attacker, and in that case, they're gonna create the one-on-one, and with that one-on-one, you're going to have a ton of room to operate and score. So that double quick was interesting, and it held the defense accountable for not guessing. You had to hold your players. So I found that interesting. It worked a few times for them. It didn't work as much times as I thought it would because they didn't end up using it, but they ran that route. Now, to kind of tie back into what we're talking about with middles, one thing that I really like to see was the location of the set for the middle attack. Now, if you notice with these middle attack balls, and if you watched the game, you'd see this, but if you didn't watch it, that's okay, is the setter kept the ball really far off the net so the middle can operate. And the middle was hitting the ball off the net as well. And I really like to see that. Both middles in the games were fantastic, but nothing was ever tight. So coaches, when you're training your setters to run their middles, make sure that there's a good amount of distance. You know, there was about a foot off. They were about a foot off, even sometimes further away from the net, where they could easily track the ball. They could track the ball coming out of the setter's hands, and the middle was able to then still cut the ball to five, swing to one. They had their full array of shots by keeping it off the net. I know a lot of times coaches have this misconception that the ball needs to be a little bit tighter to the net or closer to the net so that they can hit their angles better, but no, not at all. You could see it really clearly at high-level volleyball. They had a great amount of shots from setting the ball off the net, so I really like to see that, and it was good to see them do it at such a high level. Another interesting thing that I saw, now this isn't really much of a coaching point, more so an observation, was not a lot of C ball. I don't really think I saw a single C ball set. I could be wrong. I am wrong. I did see a little bit of a C ball from Wisconsin side, but it wasn't really a C ball. It was more of the pipe was pushed over to area one a little bit. But there wasn't a lot of C ball. And the reason there wasn't a lot of C ball was because both teams ran the step really effectively. I was actually impressed with the middle's ability on both sides to come out of position four and have amazing footwork to swing a ball out of position two. That is very difficult to go 9 meters across the net and be able to swing an effective step. So credit to them for practicing that and running it. And you could see how effective the step. I think in the first set, it was just step around, step around, step around, step around on both sides, just really going after that step. I'm a men's coach, so we really run the C ball a lot. Now, again, we don't really utilize a step as much as they do in the women's game, but regardless, you could see how effective that step around was. But it was tiring the middles out as the match went along. So I wonder, you know, both teams were very talented offensively. A question I would have had for the coaches is, as we got later into the match, when the step arounds, by the way, were getting less and less effective because the blocking was much better, should they have adjusted and started running a bit more C balls? Because that what would have happened was the middle would run their quick, that 51 attack, hold the defensive middle, and create the one-on-one for the C ball. So that might have been a coaching adjustment that I would have played with. But again, this is not to discredit the coaches at all. They coached a fantastic match, and they had their scouting reports. They knew what their, you know, what kind of offense would work, what kind of defensive systems other teams had. So we'll kind of talk about that. Now, before I get into the blocking, let's talk about the out-of-system hitting. So if you notice as well, especially on the side of Nebraska, because Nebraska was undersized to Wisconsin. Wisconsin was a lot bigger at the net than Nebraska was, but Nebraska was really creative in their shot selection, going high off hands. You could tell in that match how they were really trying, like those out-of-system balls, they were swinging high off hands. And if you watch the match, there was a lot of challenges where they were trying to go offhand, where coaches were like, no, it was a block touch, it was a block touch. Because that, you could tell, that was an emphasis in their offense. They were swinging high off hands. And if you listen to this podcast, you know I'm a big believer in going high off the hands. That is such an effective shot that it is just a high percentage shot. Instead of trying to cut the ball or go high or go really try to force a seam, like, you know, you could have forced a cross court shot, but they going high off ends really worked in the favor of Nebraska. But it only worked for so long because I gotta give credit to Wisconsin. Their read blocking was fantastic. And the coaching point that I want to make coming out of their block, out of Wisconsin's block, is their ability to read. If you notice, and coaches, we really got to train our players to continue to improve on the read and the footwork and the amount of they were so in sync on the block that when there was two blockers over there, like, it was The pin blocker established the block beautifully. The middle blocker closed beautifully. They had both hands up, and the timing of the block was amazing. They were both up over the net and sealing. They were both over the net prior to contact, and as contact was going through, they were sealing the net in such an effective way. So, and if you didn't watch the match, they set a record 24 blocks, the most blocks in a national championship game ever. And that is incredible. That tells you right off the bat how in sync and how well their read blocking was. So one thing that I really like about that is I know there are many coaches that I respect that don't spend a lot of time on block defense, like, because block defense in the stat world doesn't necessarily correlate to points scored. But in that match, I mean, and you got to think about it this way. They went to five sets. And it could have been anyone's game, because Wisconsin won 3-2 in the fifth set, even with 24 blocks. Like, if you would have told me a team got 24 blocks in a match, I would be like, that team would have won that match three sets to none. But they didn't. They won 3-2. And that's kind of why we talk about the fact that blocking is really important. But that's why some coaches kind of deviate to spend more time working on, you know, serve and pass or swinging out of system or offense and things like that. But 24 blocks is exceptional. So the takeaway there, coaches, is continue to push read blocking in your practice. You know, the cues. There are many different ways of teaching this. I've heard this ball setter, ball hitter, right? That's more of the national team going ball setter, ball hitter. I've heard, don't worry about ball setter, just worry about hitter. You know, ball hitter. So as soon as you've identified where the ball goes, you focus on the hitter, and that's what your focus is. There's a lot of different takeaways from that, but really, really focus on the cue reading, having your players, as soon as their set goes, recognizing where that set location is, and then focusing on the hitter right away so you could focus on the block. So I don't know if coaches are aware of this, but once you identified where that ball is going, your objective is to focus on the hitter. So when you look at your player's eyes should be focused on the hitter, not on the ball, because the hitter is going to give you all the information you need to know to block that ball. The hitter is going to tell you the angle of approach, because the hitter is going to go where the ball is. So at that point, the ball becomes irrelevant. You look at the angle of approach from the hitter, that's gonna tell you where the ball is going. The pin blocker lines up accordingly, takes out the hitting shoulder of the hitter, and then the middle closes. Unless, of course, your blocking strategy is based on a scouting report, then that might change, you know, based on the fact that a player likes this shot and this rotation and stuff like that, which is a little bit more advanced. But that's the only time that you may alter that decision is when... Oops, sorry, I just dropped my phone. That's the only time you'd alter that decision when you have a scouting report prior to that match, all right? So, quick recap here. We've talked about serving and passing and the importance of not switching up a fantastic serve that's working. We talked about the ability of passing. Now, passing, a good pass is, you know, pretty much anywhere above the attack line when you're, you know, at that high level. We talked about that Wisconsin double quick, which I really liked, and you saw how it froze up that defense or helped the middle, it helped the blocker stay accountable. One thing also that I didn't get a chance to talk about was Wisconsin's back pipe. Really, really good use of the back pipe. So what we saw was the middle would run a 31, but the middle would push a little bit over, and when the middle attacker pushes a little bit over, what that does is the middle blocker has a decision to make. They're either going to stay in a read neutral situation, which means they stay in the middle of the net and don't move, or they front that middle attacker, which means they, wherever that middle attacker goes, they're going to follow them along the net line to make sure that they stay in front of them. And if they do that, that frees up a hitting lane behind the setter, which the back pipe for Wisconsin was swinging. She was swinging really well. Now, I got to give credit to Nebraska because their defense was solid. They were picking up a lot of balls. Nebraska had a total of 91 digs in that match. That is incredible. That is an unreal amount of digs in a match. And that is another reason why Nebraska stayed in. It was because of their ability to be chippy and pick up balls. They really had that mentality of not letting the ball touch the ground. So it was interesting. You know, you had a a Nebraska team who was extremely, extremely tough on the serve and extremely great on the defensive end. Not so much on the blocking front, but on the backcourt defensive end in terms of getting the digs. But then you had a really big Wisconsin team who blocked extremely well and swung out of system extremely well as well. And that ended up coming down to it in terms of the wins. It was their block defense, which let me go into that fifth set. So if you didn't watch that fifth set, Wisconsin had a 7-0 lead to start the fifth set. A 7-0 lead. Now, right off the bat, that's game. If you hear 7-0, you think in your mind that's game. But can I say that Nebraska, what a fan, and this is a lesson for all coaches. We always talk about ignoring the score, not focusing on the score, focus on the next point. And I got to tell you, Nebraska did exactly that, and that's a lesson us coaches need to take away. They were down 7-0 in the fifth set of a national championship game, and if you were to watch them, they were composed. They really just, they wholeheartedly focused on the next point. I got to give credit to Nebraska's coaching staff for managing their timeouts effectively, because they did a great job at calling timeouts at the right moment and keeping Nebraska's head afloat and keeping them really dialed into the next point. And they made a really good run, a fantastic run, and ended up, at one point it was 10-6. They cut it within four at 10-6, but the reason they had that 7-0 start was because of Nebraska's blocking. They could not get that ball across the plane of the net. Nebraska was getting touch after touch after touch, and they were in momentum, and it really struggled. Nebraska really struggled because of that. So here's one thing. There's a couple takeaways from this. One, you never give up. Every point matters. It doesn't matter if it was 7-0. They focused on the next point, and they never turned on each other. They never lost composure. They still believed they had every opportunity to be in that match, and they played like it, and that was fantastic to see. Two, when you are blocking at a high level, you control the tempo of the match. The momentum shifts in your favor, and things start happening. Your offense starts opening up. You have more fluidity in your offense and defense. You start having, again, and we all know as coaches, volleyball is such a momentum game. But if you block extremely well, where they are having such a hard time of getting the ball across the plane of the net, besides the fact that the best serving and passing teams win, you put yourself in such a great position to control the tempo of the match and control the net. And that is another reason I focus a lot on blocking in our practices, because you control the net, you control the tempo, you control the match. Okay? So really, really two big takeaways there. And that's why Nebraska had the momentum the entire match, or that entire fifth set. And again, credit to Nebraska for not losing hope, man. That was unreal, unreal on how they fought. And again, they lost a tough nail biter. It was an exciting, exciting match. So let me just, you know, really quickly recap some of the stuff we talked about. Serving and passing. Tough serving team. Don't deviate. You got a good serve, you got a tough serve, you attack that serve. You don't change. You make the defense adjust to you. You don't adjust to them, especially when it's working. Passing above the attack line is considered a good ball at the high level, where you still want to be able to run all four hitting lanes, meaning the middle can adjust and run off the net in a certain way, run a push, run a 30, go behind the setter and run a different route. But the key is for the middle to always be involved in that play, and that you can still run all four hitters when a ball is set above the or passed above the attack line. The interesting thing about the C ball, again, this is a toss-up, especially at the women's side. Sorry, that was my phone. Especially at the women's side, you know, we don't know if, you know, if the step is working, and that's a big focus for you guys, no problem. Otherwise, I would challenge a little bit of C ball use as well. The back pipe, really like the back pipe. Had that middle run, that 30, that push over a little bit onto the left side, opened up a one-on-nothing situation for the back pipe. And Wisconsin, I can't remember exactly, listeners, but I don't think that Nebraska put up a single block or even got a block touch on that back pipe. So, you know, that left side was basically swinging at a one-on-nothing, which is fantastic. We talked about the fact of how well a blocking system and a blocking team can control the tempo of the match. Really, really good job of Wisconsin for doing that. And the ability to go high off hands. You know, Nebraska was an undersized they were more so undersized in this match, and their ability to go high offhand kept them in the match in addition to their serving. So that was really good to see. And then you got it, you know, 24 blocks in a national championship game is unreal. That was a record, and you can see how tough their blocking was. You know, 91 digs, Nebraska, got to give them credit for that. And the last point is 7-0 start in the fifth set, and Nebraska stayed. Even when the score was 10-6, I was watching with one of my coaches, and I was like, you know, they could come back. And Wisconsin knew the match wasn't over. That was anyone's game. They were down 7-0, came back, and got within 4 points, having it 10-6. I don't think they got within 3. I could be wrong, but regardless, they got it within 10-6. And I can guarantee you a lot of people in that arena, especially those coaches, were like, this game's not over. It's anyone's game. And that's why we want to always – you play your point. Ignore the score. You play for the next point, and you go. Because when momentum shifts – and momentum was shifting in the favor of Nebraska in that like middle part of that set – anything is possible. So really good job of staying afloat, managing your timeouts, which coaching staff did a great job at that, and keeping their mindset in the game. And it was a great overall match. So those are the big takeaways for me. I'm sure there were many other takeaways that many coaches may have gotten from it, but those are the big ones that I think that if we apply some of these in our gyms, some of the tactical things here and some of the things that we can work on fundamentally wise, it will definitely elevate our team. And you can see how they're doing it at the highest level, so that you could, you know, look at that and go back to your gym and say, well, you know, if we implement just one or two of these things, we will definitely be in a much better position as a team. All right. So those are my takeaways. I appreciate everyone for listening and tuning in. I really enjoyed breaking this match down for some of the big takeaways. And coaches, by the way, if you would like more of this kind of thing, if you would like more breakdowns, more analysis, more teachings in terms of fundamentals, I got a membership called Digital Volleyball Academy. It's my academy where I get to mentor and work with coaches all around the world. And if you're interested in being part of this academy, I basically welcome you into my world. You get to see behind the scenes in my college gym and our practices, our games. You get a chance to see all the courses that I've created over my coaching years, basically on all the skills and positions of our game. And you get to jump on coaching calls with me twice a month, where I get to, you know, do live training and Q&A and mentor and all that great stuff. So if you want a place to learn, a place to grow as a coach, and a community of other coaches who are going along the same journey as you are, go to digitalvolleyballacademy.com, sign up for the wait list, and I can't wait to see you inside the academy and get to work with you. All right, that's it for me. I will see you guys next week on another episode of the Volleyball by Design podcast. Take care.
All right, cue the music. Look, are you at the stage you want to be in your volleyball journey? How would it feel to get clarity on your training, and instead of taking months to get better, you could improve in weeks, if not days? When I was a young coach and player, I felt this way all the time. The truth is, after I got some great advice on how to be efficient, my learning curve grew exponentially. Let me show you how to be more efficient and effective in this game. I invite you to check out CoachBTraining.com for more resources that you can use to take your game to the next level. I look forward to helping you reach your volleyball goals.